Well, hello everyone and welcome to Get the Visit, Nail the Ask. I love Nail the Ask. That sounds really great. I'm delighted you are here today. This is possibly the highest registered webinar we have done at Asking Matters, and it's amazing since it's in August and I know lots of people take vacation, but you are here with us today to hear from one of my peers and friends in the business. I'm going to introduce Rachel in a minute. Many of you know me. I'm Brian Saber, president of Asking Matters, where we are all about asking face-to-face, asking for the gifts that really can move our organization ahead. And we bring on talented people in the field every month give you their perspective, to drill down in an area where they are particularly expert. And so thank you for joining us today. Some quick housekeeping before we get started. Hopefully you are seeing both a slide and a control panel. If not, click on that orange and white arrow box to expand the control panel. A few things you're going to want to be aware of there. The first is audio. Some people, most of us listen in by computer, and sometimes that can be iffy depending on our connection. If it's at all iffy, it's usually on your side, not always, but if you toggle to phone call, you will get a telephone number to call in on, and that should clear things for you. Second is the questions box. Rachel will ask a couple of questions. She'll be watching the questions box throughout the webinar and will respond to you. To make sure you know where that questions box is, can you type in, and we also would love to know, the hat you're wearing today as you're listening in. Are you listening in as a director of development, another development position, executive director, board member, consultant, volunteer? If you could type that in, both Rachel and I will be looking at it. Oh, we've got a lot of EDs, directors of development, lots of EDs today, which is wonderful because EDs, having been one myself, I know how challenging it can be when you rise through the ranks and now here you're expected to ask. So great. We also will launch a poll at some point. That'll show up on the screen. Rachel will tell me when to do that. And you will get a PDF of these slides that Rachel has prepared by tomorrow, along with a link to the recording, both as a video and as an MP3 with some other materials. And so now I'm going to introduce Rachel before I pass things along to her. Rachel and I have been intersecting at conferences around the country for a number of years now. She's a fantastic presenter, a fantastic professional in our field, and a great person. She's a consultant, she's an author, she's a speaker, she's a trainer. And she's down in Austin, Texas, which I didn't realize till today, with another buddy, Lynn Wester, who some of you may know. And Rachel and Lynn are doing an amazing course this fall, which I will tell you about in the follow-up email tomorrow, but they are great. Now, if you're looking to dive in deep, their course is the one to take this fall. So I'm delighted, Rachel, to have you. I should say, are you there?
I'm here.
Wonderful. Great. Well, I'm so delighted that you joined me today, and we thank everyone. There are many, many hundreds of you on and from all sorts of positions, and you're going to really get a lot out of Rachel's session. So I'm going to now change presenter and give Rachel the screen I just have to find her. There she is. Okay. Awesome. Rachel, it's all yours. Take it away, and thank you again for joining me.
Thank you so much. And thank you guys all. I'm thrilled. Thank you for joining us today. We are thrilled and excited to have you with us. This is a great topic. This is a meaty topic. We're going to be talking about getting the visit and nailing the ask. My background, I love that we have so many executive directors. Like Brian, I am a recovering executive director myself. I saw that we have at least one founder out there too, and I'm sure we have more. And kudos to my board members that are out there. I want to give a shout out to my student, Susan Heller, who is a board member who's joining us today. We've got Judith Galler, who's a board member as well. So kudos to all the board members who are volunteering and helping make the world a better place. My background is I started a nonprofit to empower girls in math, science, engineering, and technology called Girl Start. It's almost 22. It's going to turn 22 this September. It still exists and is thriving. But I learned everything I know about soliciting gifts in the trenches, just like you, my fundraising friends. And I'm excited to share lots of tips and tools and strategies and advice for you today. When I'm not training people to be better at their fundraising, I am raising my twins. I have boy-girl twins. They're in middle school. They're starting seventh grade next week. And that's all my contact information. If you want to send me an email or learn more about me, my website is rachelmuir.com. Brian mentioned I'm doing a course with my fundraising friend, Lynn Wester, that's coming up. It's all about donor surveys. Your donor satisfaction is the highest indicator of their loyalty, and serving your donors is a great way to find out how satisfied they are. And for-profit brands do this every time you turn around. If anyone has any technical glitches today, they're sure to get a survey from GoToWebinar in their inbox. But we as nonprofits don't survey our donors often at all. And it's a massive missed opportunity. So if you're interested in learning how to be a pro at donor surveys, I invite you to check out that website. It's going to be a really, really fun course. Lynn Wester is like the comedian of fundraising. So Brian agrees. You will be in for a treat, and I'm really excited. So you can learn more about that. We'd love to have you join us. I do a lot of custom training and board retreats. I absolutely adore doing webinars. I do webinars at least once a month for different amazing partners and people in the space, like my friend Brian, like Network for Good. So if you're interested in getting invited to those webinars, you can visit my website and sign up, and you will get a first class invitation to those webinars if they interest you. And you can find out a lot more about the work that I do there. I also have a lot of goodies up on my site, including guides and templates and stewardship plans and sample board contracts and everything in between. They're all completely free. So if you want some fundraising freebies to help you with your fundraising, you can visit my website /guides, and you can download a lot of those gems. So we're going to be talking about getting the visit and nailing the ask, and you guys can type in your questions anytime. I definitely have time reserved at the end, but I'm also happy to grab questions here and there as they pop in. So I'm just going to talk about how great it feels to give money as a way of framing fundraising for us today. I'm going to give you some tips and some tools to get the visit with your donors. I'm going to be talking to you about doing great discovery, and I have an entire cheat sheet for you to help you out with my all-time favorite, like, best of mixtape of the best and my all-time favorite discovery questions. I'm going to talk about the number one fail on the visit, and I'm going to give you some advanced tips for overcoming objections. So you're in for a treat today, and I'm really grateful that you have chosen to dedicate your time to this topic and to improve as a fundraiser. Many of the tips and tools and strategies, not all, but many of them are in this guide, and you can download this guide at www.rachelmuir.com/ask. So this guide also includes sample scripts for asking for the gift. I'm not going to go through scripts on this call, but I do have lots of different scripts in this guide. So I had to like narrow down my slides. I had like more slides than I had time in the day. But I'm really passionate about this topic, and I know Brian is too. So we're going to kick things off with a poll here, and I'll go ahead and hit launch. Okay. So we've got getting to know, what is your biggest challenge in making the ask? Is it getting donors to respond to you? Is it knowing how much to ask for? Is it confidently asking for the gift and actually getting the gift? Or is it everything in between? It looks like for most people say all of it. And I would say the next most popular answer is getting donors to return my calls or emails. So you, my fundraising friends, are in the right place because today is I'm going to be covering most all of these things, but especially getting donors to return your calls or emails. We can't cover all of this in 1 hour. But we're going to be covering a lot of this, and I guarantee you that you're going to walk away with some new insights to help you out and boost your confidence. So I'm going to close the poll, and I don't know if it showed the results, but
Yeah, I can
43%.
share them. One sec,
Okay.
I'll share them. Let's see. There you go.
Sweet. Okay. So most of you guys are struggling with all of it. And the next most popular is getting donors to return your calls or emails. So you're going to get lots of tips to help you with that today. So thank you guys for participating in that poll. I really appreciate it. So I want to kind of kick things off by talking about how fundraising is like popping the question and asking someone to marry you. So there's three ways that fundraising, soliciting a gift, is a lot like proposing marriage. The first way is that you are not asking a complete stranger. The second way is you kind of have a sense of how they're going to answer. I mean, you're not just like, God, I have no idea if this person is going to say yes or no. You kind of have a general sense. But the last way, and I think definitely the most important way that proposing is a lot like fundraising, is no matter how creative you get, whether you use a flash mob or jump out of an airplane, no matter how creative your ask is, what determines the answer isn't how you pop the question, it's how you cultivated the relationship. And that, my friends, is exactly true of fundraising as well. And so ultimately, this is all about how we cultivate the relationship. And this is one of like a million reasons why I love fundraising so much, because it's the perfect career for hopeless romantics like myself, because you get to find out so much about how people want to be significant and how they want to make the world a better place. And then you get to bring them opportunities to do just that. And I'm going to give you some really juicy discovery questions to help you have really rich, meaningful relationships with your donors. But before I do that, I really want to stress to everyone how good it feels to give money. And if this feels out of touch to you, I invite you to make a donation right now. Pick any donation, pick any charity that you want, and just make a donation. And you will be reminded of how good it feels to give. When you donate, your brain and your body psychologically go through a rush of endorphins. That's also known as the runner's high. The next thing that happens to your body is a rush of oxytocin. That's the same hormone that's released during lovemaking. So this is how donating money literally gives you a natural high. It feels, Holly says, everyone can give to Covenant House. Thank you, Holly. You're so awesome. But giving money feels really great. And if you're feeling jaded or burnout, gifts, make a small donation. I guarantee you will feel really great and you'll remember how good it feels to give. Donors are happier than non-donors. And this is a study that was done. This is like the largest study of American giving habits. This book was published in 2014. And they studied 2,000 people over 5 years. And what they found was the more generous you are, the happier you are, the healthier you are, you have lower rates of depression, you've got lower blood pressure, and increased feelings of self-worth. Of course, your generosity is completely unrelated to your income. I personally learned this in college when I was canvassing door to door for an environmental group, and I found immediately that people, as a percentage of their income, that poor people in my canvassing experience were much more generous. So generosity is unrelated to income, but this is just a good reminder of how incredibly good it feels to give. But the truth is, we as fundraisers, and I know we have a lot of development directors and major gift officers joining us on the call today. And by your own admission, many of you feel nervous about being able to confidently ask for the gift. Asking can make us feel scared out of our minds and can give us sweaty palms. So, in terms of our biggest fears as human beings, public speaking tops the list. Death is interestingly a close second. And Seinfeld is really famous for joking about this, that we'd rather be in the casket than giving the eulogy. Next comes spiders. And in case you're wondering where the fear of fundraising stacks up, it's actually in between death and spiders. And this is ironic because we feel so good when we give money. And you might feel extremely nervous as the person soliciting the gift, but it's important for you to remember how great the donor feels. And I invite you to think about that joyful feeling and think about that rush of endorphins, the rush of oxytocin, and realize that you, when you invite someone to make a gift and especially to join you in making a gift, you're giving them an opportunity to feel really, really good. And I want you to use that feeling to abate your fear about making the ask. So that's just a little bit more about the science of fundraising. Also worth noting here that the type of giving that feels best is giving to someone you know. Donors feel happiest when they give to a charity via a friend or relative or some social connection. So here's some fundraising truths to help you overcome your fears. Remember that the world is full of generous people who want to give. We don't have to look any further than the ALS challenge, the ice bucket challenge, to be reminded of that. 95% of the ask is what leads up to it. The actual soliciting the gift is the smallest part. It is the tiniest part. It takes the least amount of time. It's really all about how you cultivate the relationship ahead of time. Giving feels great. Giving gives you a rush of oxytocin, of endorphins. It feels really good to give. Being asked makes donors feel important. I remember the first time I was asked to make a major gift and I thought, oh my God, these people really think I have my crap together. I was really, really flattered. And I felt really, really special and really esteemed that they thought so highly of me that I could make that kind of an impact. And you are just trying to make the world a better place. At the end of the day, all you're doing is trying to make the world a better place. So I invite you to think about that when you're thinking about your fundraising fears. So I'm going to hop into discovery. And the first thing that I really want to stress about doing really good discovery is it's not about you. I want to update you on what we're up to. No one ever took a meeting to get an update. And information sharing is not the same as building a relationship. It's about them. What is your relationship to our work? Tell me more. This is what it's really about. The good news is people love talking about themselves. We are our very favorite topic of conversation. People spend 60% of a conversation talking about themselves. So your opportunity, my fundraising friends, is to just ask more questions. Like read less minds, ask more questions. Every single visit with your donors is a chance to do great discovery. If you travel, and I know Brian travels a lot and spends a lot of time on airplanes, and yeah, no doubt if you pick up the in-flight magazine, there are lots of ads for It's Just Lunch, which is now IJL. My friend Brian's laughing hysterically. My friend actually met her husband using It's Just Lunch, but she's the only person I know that's ever used this service. But visiting with a donor is not just lunch. It is game time. And it's your chance to ask really great, revealing, probing questions, find out more about them, find out what matters to them. Every detail about your donors is a chance to build a relationship with them. So I'm going to give you guys lots of great discovery questions. And I want to preface this by saying, You are totally welcome to furiously write notes, but know that I also have a handy dandy guide where you can download all of these questions. And at the end of me sharing all these questions, I'm going to show you where that guide is. So know that you can scribble these down or take photos of your phone, tweet it, go for it. But know that I'm also going to give you a link to where you can download all these as well. So these are just some opening discovery questions. These are great questions for a first-time donor. These are also awesome questions that you could ask have a board member ask when you have a board member calling to thank donors for their gift. So what inspired your gift? Obviously a very important question for a first-time donor. Do you have any feedback for us? Is there any way we can make your experience more positive? And then all of these other questions are kind of like next step questions to get them more involved. Can I introduce you to this person? Can I show you this? Can you come to this? So kind of, you know, you want the you always want to have a next step where they can get to know the organization better, see things behind the scenes. And yes, Catherine, we're going to be sending out the slides and you're going to have them as a PDF. They're all nice, like three up with a note section on the side. So don't worry, you're going to get the slides and all of you're going to get a link in a second where you can download all of these questions as well. So don't even worry, but I do want to stress that these are great discovery questions for a first-time donor, and they're also great discovery questions if you do a thank-a-thon or a 5 minutes where your board members are calling to thank donors at the beginning of your board meeting. These are great questions to give your donors that they can ask. I'm sorry, great questions to give your board members to ask your donors. Now, these are some kind of, I like to describe these as like first date discovery questions. What I love asking donors of all the great organizations you support, who does the best job of keeping you involved and how? I also love, probably my number one all-time favorite question is, of all the gifts that you've made, what gave you the greatest joy and why? That is an awesome question. It tells you a lot about their philanthropy. It's so open-ended. What legacy do you most want your giving to have in the world? That's a beautiful question. It really kind of opens up the field for a legacy conversation or a planned giving conversation. What do you love about what you do? So open-ended. They could talk about anything. They could talk about their family. They could talk about their career. Who knows? It's very open-ended. The goal here in these questions, and the goal of your visit and your time with your donor, is not to impress your donor. And I know you want to impress your donor, and I see your beautiful heart, but your goal is not to impress your donor with how great your organization is and how awesome you are. Your goal is to let your donor impress you. Let them impress you with their view of the world, how they want to have an impact, their passions, how, you know, their philanthropy. This is your opportunity to let them impress you. And you have to get out of your way and create the space to let them do that. I think so many times I see fundraisers going in, they're super nervous, and you've got a script, and it's all about, we did this and we did this and we did this and we did this. And the donor's like, why do you need me? You're like kicking butt all over the place. What are you even doing here in my office? So know that this is an open-ended conversation and your goal is not to blow them away. Your goal is to let them impress you. So these are some rapport building discovery questions. And these are kind of like the deepest of the questions. And so when I was a kid, my dad had a sailboat when my parents were married. And my dad is a physicist, and his special, he does like underwater sonar acoustics. And so he had this like depth charge, like radar in his sailboat, this tiny little sailboat, a little bit bigger than a sunfish. And I was fascinated by this, that it could tell us like how deep the water was. I thought that was really, really cool. And so in the world of getting to know your donors, these are deeper questions that you can ask. These may not be like the first date questions, but these are fascinating questions. I mean, these would be fascinating questions to ask at a staff meeting when you were, you know, just doing an icebreaker. What do you wish you had more of, time or money? And what would you do with it if you got it? What makes you happy no matter what? These are just interesting questions. I have 25 plus of my all-time favorite questions, and you can download all of those right there. I wrote this for Bloomerang, and we co-branded it together. But there's a lot of great discovery questions in here. So if you didn't get a chance to write all those questions down, you can download this. My advice is pick like your five favorite discovery questions. Pick some juicy ones. Of course, what was the best gift you ever made and why? I want that on there. I actually have like my five favorite discovery questions on the back of my business cards because I was like, how can I make my business card into something really useful so that if a fundraiser is with a donor and they don't know what to say, they can take me out of their pocket and have a little help there. So I have a mild obsession with discovery questions and stewardship and a few other things in life, but my obsession is your treasure trove. So you can download all these goodies right there. I never want you to feel out of words or uncertain about what to say with a donor. And my advice is pick five, look through that guide, pick five questions that speak to you and practice. Ask your friends, ask your coworkers, and like pick your five questions and keep asking people those same five questions so that you can actually get them really committed to muscle memory. And if you do that, you'll be in a really, really good place. So Jessica asked a pretty interesting question. She asked, have you found that donors of different ethnicities respond to these questions in different ways? I work with mainly Chinese donors. That is a fascinating question. I haven't, and there's actually, sadly, there aren't a lot of philanthropic studies that look at diversity in donors, but there is one that was done a few years ago with Blackbaud and I think Sea Change Strategies partnered on this study, and they did look at Asian donors as a segment, but they weren't specifically examining discovery questions. But I mean, I would, you know, this is, there's 25 questions on here. Pick which ones speak to you. Try them out with people in your inner circle first, and you know, just be sensitive to whatever cultural nuances you find. Ryan asks, are these questions awkward to ask since they're so deep? So that's kind of why I have like I mentioned the depth chart. You know, you kind of start with what was the best gift you ever gave and why? That is a totally appropriate question. Also worth asking, what are your top three philanthropic priorities? Also, another thing that I didn't say, because this is one of the slides that I deleted because I knew I only had an hour, but I like asking a donor permission to ask questions. It gets them agreeing with me and nodding their head from the get-go. So, you know, you can say, you know, as part of getting to know you better, I'd love to ask you some questions. I'm really excited to learn more about you and your giving. Is it okay if I ask you a few questions? And then they're automatically saying yes, and you can nod your head while you ask them that question. So I think it is nice to ask permission to ask questions, but you know, if you practice a few of these and pick a few favorites and ask them with your colleagues and your friends and family, you'll get them committed to muscle memory and they will sound natural and normal and second nature when you say it with a donor. So Anne asked, what if they said no? And I'm guessing Anne's question is, what if they say no to no, I don't want to answer your questions. I've never had a donor say that to me. But of course, I always respect my donor's wishes. If they blatantly come out and tell me, I don't want to get your newsletter or, you know, some other thing that they specifically say, I of course honor their wishes. But I don't think that if you have the opportunity to have a visit with your donor and you say, you know, I'd love to learn more about you and your philanthropy. What gift has brought you the greatest joy? I cannot imagine a donor not thinking about that and wanting to answer that question because they're generous and giving is a source of pride for them and it's a source of joy. Awesome. So, another great reason to ask your donors really good discovery questions is because you guys are all brilliant and you're smart and you're powerful and you're persuasive, but you don't convince donors. You, in fundraising is ultimately a quest for empathy. And what you're ultimately doing is helping your donors realize that they already care about this. And the more you know about them, and the more you know about their life and what makes them tick and what they're passionate about, and more about their life experiences and how that shaped the person they are, the more you can help them realize that they already care. I'll give you a really quick example. A friend of mine, Carol Wiesman, asked me, we were doing like a planning meeting together, and she said to me, I'm doing some work with a Holocaust museum. Tell me, when you think about the Holocaust, what comes to mind for you? And I immediately started talking to her about this amazing book that I had bought for my twins that was incredible, and we got the sequel, and it was called Making Bombs for Hitler. And it's a juvenile fiction book. And it was one of the most, I think, will be this generation's version of the story of Anne Frank. Very, very powerful, extremely well written. And I started talking to her about this book, and it was really interesting because, you know, it made me really think about, you know, my connection and things that I hadn't thought about before she asked me that question. But if she hadn't taken the time to say, what does this mean to you, or what do you think about, I wouldn't have volunteered that. I realized I cared more than I had been thinking about 10 minutes before she asked me that question from her getting me talking about it. So know that all of this information that your donors share about them and their lives and what's important to them, it's really, really meaningful, and it's up to you to make it meaningful. I had another experience with a donor of mine who her daughter, her only daughter, was going away to college, and she had the worst case of empty nest syndrome that I've ever seen, although I think I'm going to have a pretty bad case of empty nest syndrome because I only have twins, and when they leave the house, it's going to be hard. I'm going to have to get a puppy or something, but she was driving her daughter to college, and I wrote her a note and I mailed it so that when she pulled up in her driveway and walked in the door without her daughter there, having dropped her daughter off at college, oh, Julie's going to bring me a puppy. Yay! Julie has a few puppies. Julie Edwards is amazing, and she's the executive director of the Humane Society of Northeast Georgia. And if I lived in her community, I would have a house full of puppies. But I had a note waiting for her when she came home that just said, I know that you just walked in the door, and I know that you just dropped Katie off at college, and I know that the house feels differently today and that it's always going to feel different. But you should be so proud of the young woman that you've raised. And all I did was just acknowledge this milestone in her life. But you know what, you guys, that, even though, like, you may think empty nest syndrome, you know, your donors give you all this information about themselves, to a lot of fundraisers, her daughter going away to college was just another piece of information. But because it was meaningful to her, I made it meaningful to me. And that one car did more to advance our relationship than a lot of other things. I'm getting lots of puppy offers, and I love that. And I love puppy breath. Margaret's offering me a Yorkie. This is random. My twins are going to be so happy. So care about what the people you care about care about. You can't go wrong. That's, you know, this is why fundraising is a great career for hopeless romantics like myself. Always have a next step. You know, finding out more about your donors helps you understand what the appropriate next step is. But whether it's inviting them to meet leadership, a behind the scenes tour, a personal testimonial, always have a next step. You're always closing. I'm going to give you some tips to get the visit. I am getting so many offers right now. I'm getting offers for ponies. I'm going to be doing more webinars for you, Brian. You have an awesome crowd. So we stress a lot about actually making the ask, but truth be told, the number one hardest part is just getting the visit. I mean, it takes a lot to get your foot in the door. So when I share this sales information, this is from Marketing Donut, and this is actual sales data. I do not have any data on fundraisers trying to get the visit. Someone should study that.
For
So
sure.
for sure. I've been involved in some awesome fundraising research with Adrian Sargent and with Jen Chang, and it costs money to do fundraising research. You have to have a large sample group. So know that this is sales information, but I really think this translates extremely well and extremely appropriately to fundraising. 80% of new sales are made after the fifth contact. 44% of people give up after the one try, the first try, and 92% of people give up after four tries. So it takes a lot of no's to get to a yes. As fundraisers, we have to have thick skin and not take this personal. So I'm going to give you some tips to get your foot in the door. My first tip is to prep before the call, have a when, have a where, and a plan B. And if you give people two options, you're more likely to get a yes than an open-ended question like what time works best for you. These are some phrases that you can use to ask for the visit. I love this one. This is probably my all-time favorite is every donor has a story to tell, and I want to know yours. I just want to show you how your gift is making a difference. I want your advice. These are all ways that you could potentially solicit the visit. These are other ways to get the visit. Meeting a donor at an event that maybe they don't know you're going to be there, but you know they're going to be there. A board member introduction, another donor introduction. That could be in person, that could be on LinkedIn, that could be through email. Calling to thank them, calling to invite them to an event. A pre-call letter, which really just adds a little bit more kind of formality and oomph to your communication process. And yes, Jamie, you are definitely going to get the slides. And we'll make sure to put the links in there as well in the email, you bet. Well, okay, so Mackenzie asked, would you recommend calling over email? Yes, I would. And I would recommend, a lot of like the phone is the cheapest fundraising tool we have. It is really completely free, and we just don't use it enough. And even though it's only August, it's not too early to think about end of year fundraising, and the phone needs to be a part of your end of year fundraising strategy. I love video emails, Ryan, and I'm about to talk about video emails because I love them so very much. Holly, a shout out for our friend Holly here. Holly's shared that 90% of her donor meetings have come from sending handwritten introductory notes. I guarantee you, way to go, Holly. I guarantee you. So Holly says she sends a handwritten letter before she makes her call, and she finds the majority of people that end up picking up our call have received the letter. Way to go. This stands out because not many people are doing that, right? They're sending email, and maybe you're landing in their spam, or there's just so much email in their inbox. We shouldn't shy away from the handwritten note or the telephone either. Stacy asks, I have a few older donors who don't drive. Would it be okay to offer to bring them lunch to their home, or would there be a decision lunch cookies? I was just in the neighborhood. I think that's totally appropriate. If you can get the visit, you have an 85% likelihood of getting the gift. And I specifically put this in here to pay homage to this great man who Brian had a close relationship with, and he was truly, I believe, like the grandfather of fundraising. And if you don't own Asking, get yourself a copy because it is a short read, an easy read, and something that just needs to be an essential part of your fundraising library. But I remind people of the statistic all the time because if you can just get the visit, you're really there. I mean, you're really like the rest is just kind of a formality. It's really about getting the visit. So I'm going to show you some tools to help you get the visit. I love video email. BombBomb is a company out of Colorado Springs, Colorado. We were just talking about Colorado Springs, Brian and I, and we both had the pleasure to do some training out there for the United States Olympic Committee. And BombBomb is in Colorado Springs, and they are a video email company. I love video email. And so what I do for a living is train fundraisers. I do custom training. I do board retreats. I speak at conferences. So in a line of work like that, people need to hear my voice. They need to see my face in order for me to sell myself. Because if I have to be a known commodity. If they don't know what I sound like or what I look like, they might be like, well, do I want her in front of my audience? Is this really going to work? Who is this lady? So, video email is a really, really important tool for me to use in my business naturally. It's an excellent tool for fundraisers. Of course, do real estate agents use BombBomb? Yes, that's like their main. One of their main revenue sources, their main customer base comes from real estate agents. But I think there's a huge opportunity for fundraisers because, video is irresistible. You can't, if you look at your Facebook feed, your LinkedIn feed, your Twitter feed, it is video after video after video, and you can't stop watching it. And seeing, I like to do this, you see this in my example, hello Donna. Like I like to personalize it, and give someone use their first name. They can't help themselves but to hit that play button because it's very, very, very irresistible. And there's another nice, awesome bonus that I'm going to show you in just a minute, but I want to give a shout out. I have this URL here, and Bitly is kind of funky, so capitalize the G in this and capitalize the T in this. This is one of my students from a class that I do like twice a year. I do it in this in the fall and at the beginning of the year, and I'm going to mention that at the end if you're interested in learning more. But this is a video that one of my students made in the class because part of this class you get the BombBomb video email tool. Julie loves BombBomb. Julie was like, Julie is a proud graduate of my class, and Julie was like, I will give you guys examples of my BombBomb and show you how to do it. But you know what? Here's the thing. It's kind of like picking up the phone and doing an ask. You have to get over your fear of a video of you and your face and recording something. And so I recommend in the class, make. You can try BombBomb. All of you can try BombBomb for free for 2 weeks. And this is a nice tool to use for end of year fundraising, my friends. It's bombbomb.com. And yes, you're going to get the recording, Christine, so do not worry. But BombBomb, you get to put a connection of your face and your name and your voice. You can show, of course, Julie Edwards can show all the adorable puppies and kittens and amazing things happening at the Humane Society of Northeast Georgia in her BombBombs, and it's totally completely irresistible. This student who made this video, this was like a Christian school, and she made this video using an iPad. It's three clips, and she made this video. She wanted her donors to see how happy the kids were when they found out how much money the donors had given at the fundraiser. So she made a video of the headmaster of the school opening up an envelope and telling the kids how much money had been raised. And the kids are all jumping up and down and screaming. And it's adorable, right? Elementary school kids are adorable. Here's the bonus part of BombBomb, and that's the website. You get an email when they open your video. So here's the stalker part of this. If, Julie sends me a video email and I'm cleaning out my inbox like 6 months later, and I come across this video of, Sunny the dog that I donated to, and I watch it. The next day, she could mess text me or call me or leave me an email and say, well, Rachel, I was just thinking about you and I wanted to give you an update on Sunny. And I'm like, oh my God, I was just thinking about you. And you get a chance to be really, really thoughtful and appear really, really thoughtful because of the awesome tools that let you, and not in a creepy way. Your donor has no idea that you were just notified that they read your email, but and not in that creepy, like 1980s Microsoft Outlook read receipt way, but in a way that they don't know, but you know. And that's nice to know because when do you want to call your donor? When they're thinking about you and when you're top of mind. And yes, you can totally personalize like crazy. You can check out bombbomb.com and you can tell them, hey, Rachel, I don't get paid if you sign up for BombBomb. I just love their tool. I think it's a really neat tool. Now, here's another tool. I like to joke. I find the tool so you don't have to. This is Banana Tag. You can send up to 5 emails a day for free using Banana Tag. And it will, the same way as BombBomb, it'll tell you if they read your email. It can send you an email when they read your email. Maybe this is a donor and you're submitting a grant request and you really want to know if they opened it and read it. It'll tell you if they read the attachment. So that is another tool, my fundraising friends. And I'm going to tell you the biggest fail on a visit, a couple of tips for overcoming objections. And then I'm going to handle your questions. So type away. So don't worry, Julie, and all my animal loving friends. This is not a real dog. This didn't really happen. But no dogs were harmed in that photo. The number one fail on a visit is when you talk too much about how wonderful things are at your organization, you'll leave out the problems that your donors can solve. And your donor is sitting there wondering, well, why do you need me? How can I possibly make a difference? Everything's going so great. So I'm going to wrap up by talking a little bit about objections. And of course, and I don't know anything about sports at all. So it's something that I have a sports quote in my slide deck, but this is the truth. You do miss 100% of the shots in life that you don't take, and you're never going to get there if you don't try. So here's some tips from Asking, Jerry's book on how to probe a no. And this is a Girl Scout example. Hey, as we were talking, you seemed to indicate that you were really interested in the Girl Scouts. Am I right about that? So that's kind of zeroing in on, is it the organization? The more we talked, the more I felt you were really passionate about our Scouting Behind Bars program. Did I get that right? So that's kind of, did I get the right program right? I suggested that you might want to consider a gift of $10,000. Am I correct about that amount? These are all completely PC, non-offensive, gentle, appropriate ways to probe a no. I'm going to show you a super advanced ninja skill from my friend Mark Pittman, and this is in his book, Ask Without Fear. So this is a well-established sales strategy. You can Google objection into objective. And this has been a, like, sales trainers have been preaching this strategy for like 30 plus years, maybe longer. So there's lots and lots of volumes of examples aside from this one that you can find on doing this. But it's basically, you know, if you've ever bought fundraising software, depending on the savviness of your sales executive, a good sales executive would turn your objection into the objective they're trying to solve. So here's a fundraising example. I can't give to the capital campaign with 2 kids in college. Okay, Brian, so our objective is to figure out how you can give the gift you want to make while spreading out the pledge payments to make your tuition payments easy. Did I get that right? Like a master move. And I always like to leave with something that's like really advanced that kind of challenges people to think. Again, this is, there's oodles of volumes of data on examples of this. But this is like an advanced way of turning someone's objection. I'm solving it in my answer. Okay. So if we can figure this out, you can make the gift you want to make while doing this easily. Is that right? So this is a really advanced ninja skill. We have 10 glorious minutes, and I want to invite you guys to type in your questions. I'm going to be looking at the questions that you guys have sent in and making sure I answered all of them. I do, by the way, I do this awesome class. I am so happy to have 2 students that are in this webinar now, Susan and Julie, who took my class. I'm doing this again this fall, and class starts September 10th. So if you want to, I have a VIP wait list, and there's no pressure. If you join, you'll just get a VIP discount. But if you are interested in having some coaching and some training, you can visit that website and you can sign up, and you will be invited to, when this class goes live, you will be invited to learn more about it. I'm just scrolling through here to look at some of these awesome, awesome questions from people. So let's see here. Another reminder, everyone can give to Covenant House. Thank you, Holly. Margaret asked, can we use the health impact as a way to get donors on board, allow you to be more healthy? I mean, I don't know how many donors would respond to, hey, we, you know, donate to us and you're going to live longer. I think that, you know, probably like the, you know what motivates your donors. I don't, you know, I actually saw there was, and I don't know the results, but I did see the, I think it was the United Way of Dallas. They actually did a campaign, if I have that right, United Way of Dallas is with us right now on this call, but I actually saw an ad campaign. I've seen a couple ad campaigns that nonprofits did where they tried to get people to give for those kind of reasons of like, do this, it's good for you. And, you know, I don't know how much success you're going to have with that versus like your actual mission and helping, that might be more inspirational than like, give, it's good for your health. I don't know how much that's going to necessarily be a strong, you know, call to action for your donors. So I'm not necessarily recommending you do that, but know that it is, donors are happier, they live longer, they have better health, lower blood pressure, lower rates of depression. Maggie asked, what do you do if the donor keeps turning the questions back to the details of the organization when you're trying to learn about them and ask discovery questions? I would answer their questions. They're clearly trying to get to know something about the organization. I mean, you know, this is a dance and you are really following their lead. So I would answer their questions. And then after you've answered their questions sufficiently, hopefully you can then ask them some more discovery questions. We talked about, I answered Ryan and Ann's questions. Michelle asked, how best can you incorporate this after being touched for a few years? So not a new donor. I would just look at, of all of the questions, and I can, of all the questions, I would just look at, what are the questions that you don't know about your donor? That's a pretty long list. It's www.rachelmuir.com/discovery. That's the discovery guide. I would just ask them discovery questions you don't yet know about them. Don't insult a donor by asking them something you already know. They don't like that. Just ask the donors the questions that you don't know about them. So Claire said, we're a nonprofit choir. How can we approach prospective donors without seeming that we are concentrating on impressing them with all we have accomplished so far through our community performances? We want to be humble, and we are, but we really do need to attract generous donors and sponsors. So I would really focus on the need and what you're trying to do and what it can look like when that's accomplished and how people are going to benefit. I would really focus on that. Focus on, you know, what do you know about them and why they care about art and music, and what are you bringing to the community that isn't there, and how will that ultimately satisfy their aspiration or passion for music and for the arts? I have some awesome. Okay, Holly said, don't watch Toy Story 3 before my kids go to college. I'll try to steer away from that. That's a good example. Toy Story 3, that shot in the movie, by the way, great storytelling example where they're looking at Andy's room and Andy's holding the box and him and his mom have opened up the door to his room. That's a great example of a picture telling a story. You know right away, you know, what's happening. More offers for animals, 11 puppies, ponies. You have a great crowd here, Brian. Everyone's getting the slides and the links. I love that Holly is just kicking so much butt by sending out these handwritten introductory notes, and that is opening up the door for her to have these fantastic visits with donors. It's awesome. So Kate asked, a pre-call letter. That's actually something we talk about in my course, but there, this guide right here has some goodies in there, Kate, that I think you'll find helpful. It has some scripts for asking for the visit, for asking for, it has ask scripts and visit scripts as well. So I think you will find find your question answered there. Gail asks, any thoughts on getting younger donors to pick up the phone? We have feedback from younger donors won't pick up the phone, and I don't know the number. Well, I would tell you, do everything you can to get a mobile number for your donors and a number for your donors. And I would say video email is awesome. You could also try texting if you have mobile numbers for younger donors, like sending them a text message thanking them for their gift right after they make their gift and see if they respond to you there. If you don't have them picking up the phone, you could try to send them a text message to get a visit with them. You can use every channel you have available to you, whether it's texting, whether it's email, whether it's phone, whether it's LinkedIn. Use what you have. Know that it could easily take 7 to 10 tries. Think about how often it takes people to get through to you. It takes a lot. I literally, like right before this webinar, the school called me to get me to resend my kids' physical so they can play sports. I mean, it takes, and I'd sent them that twice. So it takes a lot sometimes to get through. These people are busy. They have jobs, they have kids, they have lives. So Margaret asks, so to get a visit, do I ask the first time or do I use this to build on our relationship and ask that in a relationship? This is an excellent question. Margaret is essentially asking, should I ask for a gift on the very first visit? This is a great question. If it feels appropriate, go for it. My advice is always be prepared to do an ask. Maybe your donor indicates that they're ready for an ask. Maybe you're with someone and they were going to make the ask and they suddenly lost their nerve, or they got sick or whatever, they got laryngitis, who knows what happened. Always be prepared to do an ask. If your donor's ready, this is where you have to like really read the room and really understand your donors. I think in fundraising, and who knows, this may be something Brian and I see eye to eye, or that we cuss and discuss, but I feel like in fundraising, people like to think that there's a silver bullet and there are these pat stock answers that every time the answer is always this, like, oh, 3 visits before an ask. Not necessarily at all. You may have a donor who's really ready to make a gift and wants to make a gift. Solicit them, let them make the gift. You may have a donor who really wants to learn more. They want a behind the scenes tour. They want to meet leadership. They want to get a testimonial. You know, this is a dance and you're following your donor's lead. And this is why asking questions like, what was the most satisfying gift you ever made and what made it so satisfying is a great question. Another great discovery question, how do you like to be invited to make a gift? If you ask them that question and they say something like, well, I've got 12-year-old twins and I'm really trying to introduce them to philanthropy. And when I make a major gift, I really want them to be involved in it. I've had donors answer that question that way. I mean, not that they had twins, but that they wanted their kids to be involved. And so, you know, you can ask questions. You don't have to read tea leaves or guess. You can ask your donor questions. Is there anything you would add to that, Brian, or do differently?
Well, I wholeheartedly agree with you that there isn't one stock answer, one way to go. This work, this face-to-face soliciting, this face-to-face cultivation is almost all art and very little science. It's just the opposite of direct mail and crowdfunding and so many other things where you're sending basically the same message to many. You're figuring out what that best message is, honing it and so forth. And so I know you've been in tons. I've been in tons of these meetings, thousands in 35 years, and no two have been the same. So while all these downloads are fantastic and give you some sort of arsenal to start with, eventually you build your own, and that's where the comfort or more comfort comes. I will never say this is easy or fun work. This is really hard work, but the advantage of doing it and doing it again is that you encounter similar situations again and again, and you become more facile at responding and building those relationships through those good responses. So the best advice happens to be to go out and do it.
Well, yeah, practice makes perfect.
Yeah, yeah. So we're at the top of the hour, Rachel, and I know we have many more questions, but I think we're going to leave them asking, leave them hungry, whatever that expression is, and have them go. I've taken a look at some of these downloads. They're really fantastic. And I do think, Rachel, that basically everything you said complements and underscores what I teach here at Asking Matters. We could have a little debate about phone, mostly based on millennials and where they're at. But I think, but this is really fantastic information. The objection into objective is great. The bombbomb.com, all your downloads, where our fears are and how to get past them. And we're getting lots of thank yous here. And I want to add mine. So, Rachel, thank you so much for being with me. I hope everyone will consider the class she has coming up, the course she's teaching with Lynn. And I also want to let everyone know we'll have our free four-part workshop we're offering again, Don't Ask, Don't Get, which is another piece of the puzzle here. You've got to ask, and you'll all be getting information on that in the next week or two, I'm sure. So, Rachel, thank you for your time, and thank you everyone for joining me today. And I know Rachel and I both thank all of you for being in this field with us and being out there fundraising, because it's not easy, but we have an impact in the world by doing our work, and thank you for joining us and doing it. Have a great day, everyone, and thank you again, Rachel. Bye-bye.